Richard. Welcome to another edition of the Principles and the Pod. That's right. You heard me correctly. I said Principals and the Pod. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, middle school director, and hoverboard enthusiast, Miss Angie Brothers. Miss Brothers, it's so good to have you on the pod.
Thanks, Hal. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. On today's pod, we're going to discuss life and school under quarantine. We're going to answer some listener questions, and we'll probably sprinkle a little bit of fun in there, too. So I guess to kick it off, you know, it's an interesting time that we're living in, Miss Brothers, and I'm just wondering, have you had any funny quarantine experiences? What's your funniest quarantine experience?
Well, you know, Mr. Schwartz, it's funny that you ask the question, because that was actually my morning message to my middle school faculty, to all the teachers today, asking what their funniest quarantine experience was. So I do have a good one to share. So I am a very loyal ClickList Kroger pickup customer, and I have continued to be throughout the pandemic. And so when I went to go pick up my last order, I could tell that they maybe had some new Kroger shoppers that they were training, because I had ordered some celery, and instead of a bunch of celery, I got one lonely, wilted, yellowish, whitish celery stalk, solo, one stalk. So it was bagged in its own separate bag, and that was, I liked that. And I had a lot of questions. I wondered, you know, how did they weigh this? How much did I actually pay for a very puny celery stalk?
All good questions.
It gave me a good giggle.
Well, I'm glad that they bagged it. And if you do find the receipt, I'm interested what the cost of a single celery stalk would be.
One will never know.
Yeah, that's a good one. In my household, I always worry when it gets a little quiet with, you know, with four kids running around. Anytime there's absolute silence, I start to wonder. So this happened the other night, and I came down and I found my two-year-old. He was perched on a desk that overlooked the pond outside, and he was simply watching the ducks that were in the pond. But he was also doing this while rubbing copious amounts of foot lotion through his hair. And when asked about it, didn't even skip a beat. He just said, "I'm shampooing." It took about an hour and a half when it was all said and done to get all of the lotion out of his hair. But his head and scalp looked so silky smooth. So that was one of the positives, I guess, to come out of that experience.
He's got good hygiene, Hal. I applaud you as a parent.
Yeah, well, he takes after his mother. So that's good. That's good. We'll switch it up a little bit. What's been the most difficult aspect of quarantine from a school perspective for you?
Students, I miss that part so very much. So I continue to find ways to connect with faculty and teachers every day, and I thoroughly enjoy our daily check-ins. But I don't get to see students as often. I see them usually on Wednesday mornings during clubs, but not seeing them every day is hard. It's really hard.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that's been the toughest thing for me as well, is not being able to see the kiddos. And, you know, when you start to feel down in your day and coffee just won't do the trick, and you pop into a classroom and get the energy and fun that comes with being in our teachers' classrooms and being around the kids, that's definitely, I think, the biggest thing that I miss. So looking forward to having that back, hopefully sometime soon. I'm going to switch it up a little bit. If you could eat only three foods during quarantine, what three foods would it be?
Okay, Hal. So, Mr. Schwartz, tell me, does it matter that I might not be able to sustain life on these three foods? Do we need to consider this?
No, of course, that doesn't matter. Go for it.
Okay, so it's pasta and cheese and tacos.
And you were worried about not being able to sustain life. Those are like the three, I don't know, corners of the food pyramid.
Oh, the superfoods, apparently, right?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
I should have thrown in some raspberries or some blueberries, right?
No, I mean, this is, you're only allowed three.
Only three. What about you?
For me, I think I would go with your three, or just replace the cheese with bacon maybe and be okay.
That's solid. Solid plan.
Yeah. Yeah. So now that we're satiated, here comes a different question for you. During this time, it's been really helpful to hear stories that tend to motivate and inspire. What about the past 4 weeks has kept you going?
Well, I think, like I said, connecting with students and teachers and families. I highly enjoy hearing from my teachers each morning, responding to a morning message. We tend to keep it light and keep each other laughing. And so that continues to motivate me just by connecting with people. I think another thing that's really motivating is when I get to spend time with students on Wednesday mornings. Like I said, I miss them. I miss seeing their faces and, the energy that they bring. So those things continue to motivate me. And just knowing, I guess, that this is temporary. We'll be back together again. And so keeping that in mind and knowing that, we'll make the best of this as it is now. And we look forward to the time that we can be together.
Yeah, that's all great stuff. And I can see how you find that inspiring and motivating. I think I echo all of that, all of your sentiment. And I think the only other thing that I'm thinking about too is, it's been inspiring and motivating to see the creativity that's come out of this experience. You know, I'm thinking not just from our students who are, we get to see that creativity on display every day when we're in the school building, but it's been interesting to see the creativity that's coming from our teachers as well in this format, like the videos or the theme Zoom meetups, the dance parties, ways that people have gotten creative with time and scheduling. It's just a testament to the teachers that we have at Orchard. And I've found that to be really inspiring and motivating as well.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
So I'm going to switch it up. We'll end with something a little bit lighter. You have to choose your quarantine soundtrack. What songs are you going with?
Okay, let's go one for one. So I'm going to start with Bob Marley, Three Little Birds, Orchard Angels style.
That is, I remember that. I think I remember the guitar strummer very well. For me, I was going to go with anything that's early 1980s Husker Du. But if I had to just pick three songs, I guess one, I would go with Trapped. The Bruce Springsteen version, although I'd also take the Jimmy Cliff version as well. What's your second one?
Let's see. MC Hammer, Can't Touch This.
Good one. I can picture myself dancing in my parachute pants right now. Mine would be No Easy Way Out by Robert Tepper. It was made infamous by Rocky IV. There ain't no easy way out, you know? There's no shortcut.
Nice. Very nice.
What's your third one?
All right. Yeah. So number three, Hal, the New Kids on the Block House Party. You got to check it out. It's a quarantine tune for the ages.
That's a good choice too. I guess my third one would be any music being sung at a Miss McSpadden led group sing would be my third go-to option.
That is so sweet.
Speaking of the voices of angels, yeah, it's what I picture. You know, it's been really good with our chat-a-thon. And I was wondering if you would help me answer some of the questions that came in or join me as we go through and answer some of the questions that came in from listeners. I don't know if you remember, but a few weeks back on the last pod episode, I put a call out to listeners to submit their questions and wonderings. And today I was hoping that we could answer two questions that were submitted by members of the Orchard community. Sound good?
Absolutely. Yeah, let's do it.
Great. Now that I've looped you in, the first question is, how big is the biggest booger?
Oh boy. I bet it's big, yeah. Hal.
It turns out, actually, I don't know if you know this, but I've had chronic sinusitis for as far back as I can remember. And I've had to see a number of otorhinolaryngologists, and the fact that I can pronounce otorhinolaryngologist also means that I'm pretty much qualified to answer this question.
I would guess so. So can you extrapolate for some of our listeners who might not understand what sinusitis actually means? What is that, Mr.
Yeah, Schwartz? So thank you for asking, because not enough people ask me about my chronic sinusitis. But basically, I have a small nasal passage, so it makes it difficult for mucus, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in a second, to actually pass through my nasal cavity. That's also obstructed by polyps, which continue to grow back no matter what I do to try to get rid of them. Obviously, this has helped me learn a little bit about the nasal cavity and makes me, by all accounts, an expert on boogers. According to how stuff works, boogies are made up of the mucus that lines the nostrils. It's known as the little hairs, the tiny hairs there are known as cilia, and they protect the lung from foreign objects such as germs, dust, dirt, and pollen that are just out there in the world that you could breathe in at any time. And if you're like me, or if you're like a lot of children, you have another name for nose mucus. We call it snot. And your nose and your sinuses, get this, they make up about a quart of snot every day. Can you believe that?
I did not know that. That is a fun fact.
Yeah, and just to kind of put that in context, or frame it for you, that's the equivalent of about 2 Ben and Jerry's ice creams, which I just happened to consume last night.
The ice cream, right?
The ice cream. Thank you for helping to clarify. What is a booger? That's kind of what I started thinking about when I was doing this research to try to quantify the world's largest booger. And as I said before, mucus has a pretty important job. It's supposed to keep the lining of your nose moist and warms the air that you breathe. And it also protects the lungs, as I said. If the things like dirt and germs and pollen was to make it into your lungs, the lungs could get irritated or infected. So luckily, we have snot there to block it all out. And boogies
are the good guys.
They are. I think a lot of boogers have gotten a bad rap, but really
they have.
Yeah, really, they're there to protect you. The mucus that's lining your nose eventually gets hard because as you breathe, the air that flows through your nose dries it. And this can increase due to dry climates or dehydration or even air-conditioned rooms. With all that being said, I wasn't able to confirm the biggest booger size. But, Ms. Brothers, I can actually tell you the most expensive booger ever.
Well, this is good.
Yeah. I figured you'd want to know. In 2008, movie star Scarlett Johansson blew her nose on The Tonight Show, put the tissue in a bag, signed it, and sold it on eBay for $5,300. That's one expensive bag of snot.
Yeah. That is one expensive bag of snot. I also wonder what someone does with such memorabilia.
I'm not quite sure. I don't know if perhaps there's they make a memorabilia case where you can house used movie star tissues. I'm not sure. But I do know that what Scarlett Johansson did was, ironically, took the proceeds from the sale and donated them to a hunger charity called USA Harvest, which is a good way to pay it forward.
It is a good way to pay it forward. I like that.
The other question that came in from one of our listeners, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on this one. We had a listener write and say, what are your thoughts on screen time? How much time should kids be on them, and how should it change as they get older? What are your thoughts, Ms. Brothers?
Mr. Schwartz, I actually think about this question all the time.
Yeah, me too.
I think about it as a teacher, and I think about it as a mom, and I've done a lot of research on it. And the interesting thing is, the American Pediatrics Academy, they have recommendations, but there's actually recommendations that come from all different kinds of people who research this topic that are a little bit different. And so the one thing that I think is really interesting is this idea that not all screen time is the same. I think that's really important to understand.
Tell me more. I want to know more.
You might be learning how to code on maybe like a Scratch application and spending some time on a screen because of that. But there's a lot of learning that's going into that. And the activity that's happening in your brain while you're doing that looks a lot different than the activity that's going on in your brain when you are binging on YouTube. So I think it's important to think about what kinds of activities you're doing on screens. All that being said, I'm still a really big proponent of not spending an incredible amount of time on screens and balance. So, you know, it's also, even if you weren't spending a ton of time on screens, but you never got outside and you never exercised and you never were getting fresh air, that's also really unhealthy. And so really, I think when we're talking about screen time, the most important thing to think about is balancing your screen time with other healthy, unconnected activities where you're not connected digitally. So those are sort of my broad brushstrokes thoughts on screen time. I'll say though, I think it's important because obviously it's something that a lot of people are thinking about right now is screen time.
Yeah.
We're all, you know, quarantined and at home and remote learning, that it's okay that it looks a little different right now because our entire life looks different right now. And so, you know, I know at my house, some of the rules that we had before quarantine look a little bit different as well, because I think it's really awesome that we have ways to digitally connect with our friends and our family and the people that we love and care about, and ways to stay connected with the greater world. And so while we're not going out into the greater world, we're digitally connected. And so it's going to look a little bit different right now, and that's okay too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really important thing to reinforce or to drive home, is that, yeah, these times do make a lot of things sort of different than what our normal guidelines or expectations are. And you're right, like, we're all trying to juggle other responsibilities. I think controlling screen time especially can be a bit challenging at this point in time. It's a pretty popular topic in my own household. And I don't, you know, I don't think I have much to add on what you shared, actually, other than, if I'm putting it simply, unstructured playtime is more valuable for a young child's developing brain than electronic media. And I think you kind of hit on that. And research, as you said, kind of shows that the children younger than age two are actually more likely to learn and remember information from a live presentation than they are from a video. But I think the big thing is, as we think about children and as they get older, there can be certain benefits. You know, I'm thinking about programs that offer music or movement or storytelling. You know, it's obviously better when parents are present during this time and can help their child make sense of or process through whatever it is they're watching. But just like with anything, except for maybe winter hats, that may be the one exception. There isn't a one-size-fits-all approach to screen time, right? So it's really up to parents to decide, like you said. And you hit on a lot of the important things that I'd want folks to keep in mind, which is really make sure that you play or engage with your child in their virtual environment. I think a big thing, especially in today's day and age, is to discuss or model, reinforce, or teach kindness. Like, what does this look like in a digital or virtual space? And then also be involved. You know, this means you need to know who your child's friends are, and you need to know what your child does with those friends online. And the biggest thing that you hit on was really to keep in mind that the quality, it's not so much, or it is the quality of the media your child's exposed to, rather than the type of technology or the amount of time spent. You know, I watched Sesame Street on a black and white TV, but it was the content that mattered. So I appreciate you hitting on that. Awesome. Those were the two questions that had come in from our listeners. And you know, we'll put a call out, I think, again sometime soon for some more questions. If you have something that you're thinking about or wondering, and you'd like to have Ms. Brothers and I discuss your question on air on the Principals in the Pod, please, we'll send that link out and you can submit your question.
Story time with Miss Brothers and Mr. Schwartz. Make yourself comfortable, sit back, relax, and enjoy this story.
Giraffes Can't Dance
by Giles Andre and Guy Parker Reese. Gerald was a tall giraffe whose neck was long and slim, but his knees were awfully crooked, and his legs were rather thin.
He was very good at standing still and munching shoots off trees, but when he tried to run around, he buckled at the knees.
Now every year in Africa, they hold the jungle dance, where every single animal turns up to skip and prance. And this year, when the day arrived, poor Gerald felt so sad, because when it came to dancing, he was really very bad.
The warthog started waltzing, and the rhinos rock and rolled. The lions danced a tango that was elegant and bold.
The chimps all did a cha-cha with a very Latin feel, and eight baboons then teamed up for a splendid Scottish reel.
Gerald swallowed bravely as he walked toward the floor, but the lions saw him coming, and they soon began to roar.
Hey, look at clumsy Gerald, the animals all sneered. Giraffes can't dance, you silly fool. Oh, Gerald, you're so weird.
Gerald simply froze up. He was rooted to the spot. They're right, he thought. I'm useless. Oh, I feel like such a clot.
So he crept off from the dance floor and he started walking home. He'd never felt so sad before. So sad and so alone.
Then he found a little clearing and he looked up at the sky. The moon can be so beautiful, he whispered with a sigh.
Excuse me, coughed a cricket, who'd seen Gerald earlier on. But sometimes when you're different, you just need a different song. Listen to the swaying grass and listen to the trees. To me, the sweetest music is those branches in the breeze.
So imagine that the lovely moon is playing just for you. Everything makes music. If you really wanted to. With that, the cricket smiled and picked up his violin. Then Gerald felt his body do the most amazing thing. His hooves started shuffling, making circles on the ground. His neck was swaying gently, and his tail was swishing round.
He threw his arms out sideways, and he swung them everywhere. Then he did a backward somersault and leapt up in the air. Gerald felt so wonderful, his mouth was open wide. I am dancing, yes, I'm dancing, I am dancing, Gerald cried.
Then one by one, each animal who'd been there at the dance arrived while Gerald boogied on and watched him quite entranced.
They shouted,
it's a miracle, we must be in a dream. Gerald's the best dancer that we've ever seen.
How did you learn to dance like that? Please, Gerald, tell us how. But Gerald simply twirled around and finished with a bow.
Then he raised his head and looked up at the moon and stars above.
We all can dance, he said.
When we find music that we love. The end.
Did you know? Maybe you're looking for cool facts to impress people at dinner parties. Maybe you're tired of being the last person to buzz in when you play imaginary Jeopardy. Or perhaps maybe you're just interested in learning something you didn't know before. Whatever the reason, Did You Know is the quickest way to access exciting, intriguing, or just plain strange information.
The world's total population is roughly 7.8 billion people. That is obviously a huge number. But did you know that according to National Geographic, if every person on Earth stood shoulder to shoulder, they could all fit within the 500 square miles of Los Angeles? I don't know if that holds true with social distancing guidelines in place. Did you know your tongue is made up of 8 interwoven muscles, similar in structure to an elephant's trunk? Or an octopus's tentacle. Interesting. This week, we're introducing a new segment to the Principles in the Pod called Mystery Sound. Here's how it works. We're going to play a mysterious sound. Your job is to listen closely and see if you can figure out what the wacky audible wonder is. If you think you figured it out, feel free to submit your guess in the link we've included underneath this episode. Best of luck to you. Listen closely.
Need to hear that again? Okay. We'll give it to you one more time. Listen carefully.
Well, that's a wrap for this episode of The Principles in the Pod. Don't forget to submit your guess for the mystery sound using the link that's been provided in the information about this episode. Most importantly, though, please know that we miss all of you so much and cannot wait to be back together with all you Orchard Owls sometime soon. Take care, Orchard. ¶¶